Hey everybody, Dynasty Outhouse here. This isn't your usual episode, so we're gonna skip the usual opening. A few weeks ago, we asked you for some trades to talk about as a listener trades episode, but we've been recording such awesome content that needed to be split up into a bunch of awesome episodes that this kept getting pushed by the wayside, but I didn't want these to go away. So, bonus episode! Alright, there's not gonna be any news, there's not gonna be any Trade Addicts trades, it's just gonna be these trades. So I hope you enjoy and get ready for part two of our talk with John Hogue about buy highs and sell lows. All right. Peace out, Cub Scouts. All right. Well, I figured after last week's mega recording session, we take it a little easy this time. And we asked Twitter for a couple of trades and they responded as always because you guys like us. You really like us. But Brian and I were just having a conversation during a little editing session, and I said the word GIF, and we haven't had this conversation yet, and I don't think you've said the word yet. Are you a GIF or a GIF guy?
Depends on the day.
Today.
I'm a GIF guy today.
All right, good. So we can
keep... I'm usually a GIF guy.
All right, good. We can keep recording, because if you said GIF, then I don't... I would hit the end button and just... We may never talk again.
And let me just say, your GIF game is fantastic.
It's a source of pride, actually, you know.
The owl GIF, the deal with it owl that does the head thing, the circular head thing, I can't see that on Twitter and not laugh my tail off.
Don't underestimate owl GIFs. There's also a fantastic come at me, bro, owl, where he's like putting his head in a circle, like bouncing around.
I think that's the one I'm talking. Yeah, I think that's the one I'm talking about.
No,
the one where
both,
he's like,
because then there's the other one where his head spins, and one of the times it has the sunglasses on and says, "Deal with it."
Deal with it. Yeah. Those are both great.
All right. Segue aside. Let's get back to the real deal. Let's get back to these trade talks.
Yeah, man, I'm excited about this.
Yeah, this is a fun one. These are actually. Okay, we're gonna get this. We're gonna get the baby trade out of the way because we got some big boys sent into us.
Big boy trades.
All right. So first hashtag baby trade is from Robert Bowe at RobbieBeans919. He gave Eric Ebron for Rex Burkhead. Now,
yeah,
he gave no details of the league. I feel like we don't really need details on this.
Mm-hmm.
This one, it's kind of, we just sort of talked about these recently where I called Ebron a buy, but I also said go buy the smaller Patriots guys because of the Julian Edelman suspension.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you like here, I mean, it's too early in the offseason to think about team need, really. I probably would have taken Ebron, but yeah, I see nothing wrong with this.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's where I am too. I don't think there's anything wrong with the deal whatsoever. Value-wise, I think it's pretty close. I personally would take the Ebron side in this just because I don't trust the New England backfield whatsoever. I think there's a ton of guys in that backfield that that are talented and have a chance to do something. I just don't know which one's going to get the opportunity. So for me, I think I'd take Eric Ebron in this deal, you know, with Luck throwing a football now and – you know, the rumblings that, you know, they're going to use Ebron as an Ertz type player. I don't know, you know, if the skill set matches, but it could. So I would probably lean that side, but there's nothing wrong with this deal, in my opinion. I think, you know, I can make an argument for either side. I'd probably lean Eric Ebron, though.
Yeah, no, but it was a nice start off because
no
hard takes, hot takes on either side. Just, you know, nice quick little discussion about it. Because now we're getting into the real stuff right now.
I'm sweating.
Yeah, I just don't have the air conditioning on, so it's hot in here. But, you know, also emotionally sweating from the trades we're about to start talking about. this one comes from Sam Lane at FF Stompy. This guy, if you don't follow this guy, you should be following this guy.
I was just going to say the same thing. Sam's an awesome dude, yes. And he knows his stuff. So I'm with you on that one for sure. If you're not following him, go follow him.
And he also writes for F3, the fantasy football franchise,
yep.
Which you should also check them out. If you're listening to us, you should be listening to them because,
yes.
You know, humble brag, they made top five Ryan McDowell podcasts to listen to. You know,
boop, boop.
We'll be there next year.
Hey. I was going to say, we have some goals, so.
All right, so Sam submitted a trade in a 12-team Superflex league. I'm going to assume it's PPR because he's a smart guy and smart guys play in PPR leagues.
Yep.
He gave away Todd Gurley, AJ Green, and a 19-second for Davante Adams, Nick Chubb, Jamal Williams, and two 19-firsts.
Yep.
Now, there was no team background on this, so we're going to take this in a vacuum. I think I like the risk of this Adams side.
Mm-hmm.
Convention probably says take the Gurley side, and I know mm-hmm. you're not an Adams guy, but the concussions scare me a little bit, but not enough for me to steer away from him.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, let's do what we always do. Let's break it down, because I keep looking at AJ Green and be like, but I love AJ.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm sticking with this. I'm going with the Adams side. All right. So I think Nick Chubb and how far away from AJ Green is Nick Chubb and Jamal Williams?
I can't even say that because I'm looking at the deal a totally different way.
Okay.
So you tell me how far away is Nick Chubb and Jamal Williams from AJG?
All right. Just I don't want to be rambling for too long, but I guess I will be anyway. All right. In my brain, it's a little further away. In what it seems like the community's way, AJ Green is probably worth 102, 103, and that's what Nick Chubb is. So to me, Nick Chubb and Jamal Williams can sort of equal AJ Green. And if you're going to tell me Davante Adams and two firsts doesn't get you Gurley, that's Davante Adams hate. And I'm a very big Nick Chubb fan. I know we're both on the Aaron Jones trade, but just having a piece of that backfield just in case feels nice. And I'm drinking the Kool-Aid on the 19 draft being the next 2014 draft. So having two of those firsts are nice if you're the kind of person that holds on to things and doesn't flip them automatically. But if you are that kind of guy, 19 firsts, you could flip so easily right now and get good value for them. That while I've actually traded, I think, for two or three shares of Gurley this offseason, so I'm on the Gurley train, don't get me wrong. But I love just about every single piece on that Davante Adams side, and in 12 teams, studs are important, but some depth is also important, and mm-hmm. I think every part of that side can be playable next season. So I'm going to go with the Davante Adams side.
Okay, cool.
Now's when you talk.
So I look at this overall deal very differently than you. So here's my thing. I will admit I am very much lower than most everybody on Davante Adams. It's not that I don't like him. Like, I like watching him play. He's fluid, he's exciting, he makes difficult catches. You know, I like watching Adams play. I really do. I just look at his numbers. And I know, you know, it's dangerous to look at numbers alone without any type of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's never had more than 75 catches in a season. And he's never had more than 997 yards in a season. And I didn't have to look that up. I know that because I make this argument all the time, especially on Twitter. I understand why everybody is so excited about him. He's playing with Aaron Rodgers, right? He's been playing with Aaron Rodgers for 4 years. Okay. Now, Jordy Nelson's always been there. Okay. Jordy's gone. So that's a legit reason to expect him to get a little bit more market share.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and more opportunities, more targets. Jimmy Graham came in too. And I know that they historically haven't used the tight end the way that you would hope Aaron Rodgers would use his tight end, Jamarcus Finley, I think, a year or two maybe. But
that was
outside
also like
of
10 years ago.
Right. It was. But, you know, I think Jimmy Graham is going to be a factor in the red zone.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's where Adams has made his mark in this league and in fantasy leagues over the last several years. So for me, I definitely think a touchdown regression is coming for Adams.
I mean, but didn't we feel that coming into this year and he still put up double digits?
Because
12, I think he had 2 years ago, seemed insane to repeat, and he still did pretty well.
He did. He had 10 last year. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's you know, you're right in a way there. Here's the deal, though. AJ Green, right? Mm-hmm. So this is a guy that, I mean, I think most of us would agree over the last, I don't know, 5 years, this is a stud player, right? This is a guy that's going in first rounds of startups. You know, now, the last two seasons, he's been a little banged up. He hasn't performed, okay? But let me give you the numbers on those two seasons, right? Mm-hmm. So last year, 2017, AJ Green, 75 catches, 1,078 yards, and 8 touchdowns, okay? It was a terrible year for AJ Green, right? I mean, everybody's like, oh, my gosh. I mean, he's done, right? He's done. Mm-hmm. 75 catches, 1,078 yards, and 8 touchdowns. This guy's done. He's 28 or 9. I don't know exactly. Okay, so he's 29 years old. He's done. He's Devonte Adams hasn't put up a season like that yet. I mean, literally, AJ Green just had a terrible season. We're talking about him having a terrible season and him his career being over. He had 75 catches. That matches Adams' career high. 1,078 yards is 80 yards more than Adams' career high. And 8 touchdowns is 2 touchdowns less than Adams had last year. So for me, I mean, I'm sitting here. I understand all of the Adams hype. I understand where it's coming from. I just don't buy into it. Mm-hmm. I don't see this guy taking that next step to the point where he's worth AJ Green plus plus. So let's go back to the deal. Mm-hmm. Okay. AJ Green, the way I break this deal down is, if you are into the hype, if you think Adams is now, you know, hey, he's the number one in Green Bay. He's Aaron Rodgers' number one target. His yardage and his catches are going to go up and you know, match kind of where he's been touchdown-wise. Even if he drops a touchdown or two, you know, the yardage and the catches are going to make up for that in PPR leagues, right? Mm-hmm. So even if you believe that, are you paying more than AJ Green in a second?
No.
I'm not. No chance.
Again, this was like when we talked about Keenan and Evans, what was it, last week, 2 weeks ago, where you know you should be paying up because of what the world values them as, but you can't do it. I couldn't do it. I would never be able to pay up from AJ to get to Devontae, even though I know that's kind of what you have to do these days.
Right, and that's where I am. I think even if you break it down that way, okay, AJ Green in a second for Adams. Okay, so now all of those three pieces are off the board. So now the deal comes down to Gurley for Chubb, Williams, and 2 firsts.
Well, when you...
For me, I'm paying that for Todd Gurley every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, if I can get Gurley for that, I would do that.
So for me, I think I like the side that Sam gave here. I don't want to say substantially more, but for me, this is a deal that I would not have done personally. Mm-hmm. I love Sam, don't get me wrong, and this guy has an awesome fantasy mind. So again, if you're not following him, go follow him. It's at FFStompy, STOMPY on Twitter. Great guy. But in this particular deal, I don't necessarily like the pieces that Sam gave up as much as the ones that he got. I understand why he did the deal. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not a believer in Devontae Adams, and that's why I would side with the Gurley and Green side on this one.
All right, so you're a hater, so we'll move on.
I love you, Sam.
Our next one comes from Rich Rosendahl. I don't know how to pronounce your name, Rich, but hey, he's a trade addict. He's in TA1 at Tiger_2_Wahoo. 10-team, 0.5 PPR. Rich gave away the 102, 106, a 19-second, and a 21st, and got Todd Gurley. Now, this actually is very similar to what we were just talking about as part of the prior trade, which you said, what, Chubb and 2 firsts for Gurley? You
Chubb, yeah, Chubb, Williams, and 2 firsts.
Yeah, so, you know, the 102, a 19-second, is pretty much Chubb and Williams, mm-hmm. and the 106 and the 21st.
Are the two 19 firsts, yeah.
Easy Gurley on this one, right?
I think so. Yeah. Just because there's a lot of question marks around those picks. You just never know with picks. You know, I mean, I'm a big, you know, I mean, obviously I'm a big Saquon fan. We've established that, I think, every single week of the pod.
Yeah, you feel the need to bring it up every single week.
Yes, well, it's important that people know, okay? So back off. But I'm also a big Darius Geis guy.
Yes.
I think he's the clear 102,
yes.
And I like him a lot. So, you know, I like a player like that. But, I mean, Todd Gurley, we're talking about a guy last year that had an unbelievable season. You know, I really like that offense in L.A. The Sean McVay factor is huge for me. And I think that offense is going to be awesome for years to come. So for me, I think I'd go with Gurley. He's 23 years old. He's proven he can do it in this league. He's been fairly healthy since he's been in the league. So, yeah, I would lean Gurley on this side. I think value-wise, it's pretty close, though.
Yeah.
I just would rather have the sure thing in what I've seen from Todd Gurley than what I might be getting with these picks.
Yeah, now here's the two things to bring up about this trade, also knowing nothing about either of these teams. 10-team leagues is about studs.
Studs, that's right.
Depth is not as important in 10 teams, so getting Gurley is a very big deal in a 10-team league. But,
sure. Like,
I can picture in this trade, the guy who traded away Gurley probably has a crap team besides Gurley, in which case this trade is awesome for him. Like, he pulled a lot of very high-value picks out of this trade. So
sure.
This is good for the other guy. So the fact that we both sided with Gurley very quickly does not mean that this is bad.
No. In a rebuild, I mean, I a guy that doesn't have as many of those stud players, I can definitely see the reasoning on the other side. You know, and that's the cool thing about, again, when you're working deals with different owners in your league, you know, you got to look for what makes sense for their team too. You know, and that's why some of these deals are able to happen because, you know, you look at someone who maybe isn't in a position to compete or maybe just doesn't have the, you know, stud players or whatever. And you're able to kind of mesh on what your needs are and what their needs are. And then that's how these deals happen. So, I mean, this isn't a bad deal by any means. I hope that, you know, wasn't something that came across with us siding with Gurley in this deal. I think this deal makes sense on the other side too, probably. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is a good deal on both sides. Hey, one thing I do want to bring up real quick, though. So this was a Twitter submission, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure this wasn't a TA league, because if we had a 10-team TA
league,
we need to do an expansion here. So
no, I wouldn't talk about it. That would be like shoved under the stairs somewhere that, you know, we would pretend it didn't exist.
But yeah, in 10-team leagues, I think it's important, you know, to get those studs, unless you're not competing. If you're not competing, trade them away and try to diversify and get as many shots at future studs as you can.
Yeah. All right. And since we love talking about Todd Gurley, apparently, let's go on to our next trade. This is from Andrew at Kenny G SZN, so I'll assume that's Kenny G season.
Ooh, this is a big boy trade.
Yeah, this is a big boy trade. And this guy actually has like popped onto the scene in my mentions pretty recently. And he's in a lot of trade poll talks, so he's a lot of fun. This is a 14-team PPR league. This is Todd Gurley, Paul Richardson, and Justin Jackson for DeAndre Hopkins and Sony Michel. Now, let's just break this down. This is Gurley for Nuke Plus, right? I mean,
it's what it looks like to me. Yeah.
Paul Richardson and Justin Jackson are whatever. I'm not that big on Sony Michel, but I also believe Nuke over Gurley. So I think I would probably stick with the Nuke side on this.
I mean,
I don't really think I need to go into much more than that. It's really, this is a preference of who do you think is worth more, Gurley or Nuke, which could be very team specific to you. I don't know. Odell, Nuke, Gurley. That's my top three. And I guess I don't really need to be convinced that much to switch them. But If I'm in a trade like this, I think you need to pay up from Gurley to get to Nuke just because hashtag team wide receiver. So yeah, that's I'm on the Nuke side, and it's not has absolutely nothing to do with Sony Michel.
Yeah, I think for me, I mean, these two guys, Gurley and Nuke, these are my top two dynasty players in my personal rankings, which you can check out over at DLF in the 2QB and Superflex rankings.
Shameless plug.
Shameless plug, and I should have them updated here soon.
That's because we have a DLF member on our podcast.
But yeah, Nuke, DeAndre Hopkins is my number one overall dynasty asset in my rankings, and Gurley is second. So and then your boy Beckham is right behind those two. But for me, I'm gonna lean to the Nuke side on this one. Sony Michel, I'm not sure about him. We've talked about the New England backfield a little bit in previous episodes, just the uncertainty there, and you never know what Bill Belichick's going to do with those guys. I don't think they would have spent the pick that they spent on him if they weren't going to use him in some capacity. So I'm confident that they'll use him. I don't know in what role whatsoever, but he certainly holds value in the dynasty
Yes,
community.
well,
I mean,
definitely
this
has
guy's a
value, yeah.
Sure. So this guy is a first round. I mean, he's a first round pick in rookie drafts,
Yes.
in most rookie drafts,
He
right?
should be, yeah.
So you're talking DeAndre Hopkins and a first, right? A 19 first for Gurley, Richardson, and Jackson. And for me, I mean, I don't overly dislike Paul Richardson or Justin Jackson.
It
It's a little
just
weird that Paul Richardson puts ketchup on his
that's no
tacos. That was
that's
on.
not weird. That's wrong.
That's it's I mean, I love ketchup
I
and I put it on things that probably most people don't.
we're not
I
no
would
we're
not
not
put it on
okay.
tacos. That's very strange.
Yes.
But anyways, Richardson and Jackson for me, and Jackson is a guy. I mean, I watch Big Ten football. I'm big Ten guy, and I watch a lot of games in the conference. And this guy's I do think this guy is an underrated or has been an underrated prospect. His situation's a little muddied because of Melvin Gordon there in Los Angeles, but talent wise, I mean, I definitely could see him having some sort of role in future years. I don't know if he'll have it this year, but if Gordon for some reason demands Le'Veon Bell money, and I could see them moving on from him and letting Jackson have an opportunity, but.
You can't put that into value in this trade,
No,
though.
that's right. And again, I mean, so eventually this deal comes down to like it's like Gurley for Nuke and a first, or Gurley and a couple
It's
pieces, later picks, whatever you want to call it, for Nuke and a first. And for me, I'm going DeAndre Hopkins in this one. And I don't get me wrong, I love Todd Gurley. I mean, I think I made that clear in the previous trade, so. But there's too much value on the Hopkins side in this deal, and especially again in a 14 team, in a 14 teamer, I'm definitely leaning that side. So,
All right, so yeah, we don't need to keep going on that because we kept going for too long after we already said how easy it was for us to decide the sides. Let's get on to our last trade. This one comes from Heath Thomas at the FF Weasel. This is a 10-team Superflex PPR league. And this one is not Todd Gurley, but it is DeAndre Hopkins. We have Nuke for Josh Rosen, DJ Moore, Jerick McKinnon, a 19 first, and a 20 first. That's a lot. That's all right. Let's just say, putting it out there, if you have to trade six pieces to get to one, I hope your team is kind of trash and you need six pieces, because otherwise you're probably breaking down your asset into too many smaller things. That being said, I love almost everything this guy got back. But I don't know if I could do it. I'm gonna side with Nuke on this again, knowing nothing about their teams. Chances are this guy does not have a competing team. But to me, Nuke is what you build around. You find a something else to sell. you know, make some grilled cheese sandwiches for a third round pick or something. Like, you find a way to get picks or players that isn't selling Nuke. But Josh Rosen is your favorite quarterback coming in this year. DJ Moore is most likely most people's favorite wide receiver. Jet has such high upside, which, again, if we're talking about a guy rebuilding, that's what you need. And then two first-round picks for the next 2 years, which, if are not needed to use to draft, are more tradable assets. So, again, this makes sense. I get it. I just Nuke. I'm just on the Nuke side still.
So the first question I have for you is regarding the grilled cheese sandwich. Does that come with tomato soup or?
It'll come with tomato slices on the sandwich. If you want the tomato soup, you're going to have to throw in either another third or bump it up to a second round pick.
Oof. All right. I'll have to think about that one.
Get back to me.
All right. So this deal. So again, we're talking 10 team here, right? So studs are important. So that does drive the value of Hopkins up even more than it would in a 12 or 14 team league. Having said that, this would be a tough one for me to pass. It would depend. This one I think is one that would depend on team makeup. But you're literally talking five firsts worth of value for Hopkins.
Yeah, the value is right. The value might be a little even high when you think about it, but it's into such small pieces.
Yeah, I think, you know, so the other thing that I think would come into play for me in this deal is how active is this league? If this is a trade addicts league, I'm probably taking the Rosen, Moore, McKinnon first side.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because I'm going to flip those players. First of all, I'm not. I know you are.
You're not a Jet believer, I know.
Not the way that. Oh my gosh, guys!
I'm not a Jet believer.
It's getting out of control with Jerick McKinnon right now. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like the player. I think he can be talented, or I think he is talented, and I think that he can perform better than he ever has in this offense with Shanahan. But for crying out loud, I mean, we're valuing him. I mean, we're talking a high first now, and this guy has never been a starter ever in this league. So, I mean, I could be very wrong here, and if he goes there, I mean, he's already there. Mm-hmm. If he performs the way that some in the Dynasty community believe he is going to perform, I will give props to those folks, and I will say, hey, Jerick McKinnon, man. What a star and all of that. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I think we need to pump the brakes here. I mean, this guy hasn't played a down for them, and he hasn't been anything more than average for his entire NFL career. And he's literally never won a starting job.
But the metrics,
ever.
The metrics.
And metrics are important, but they're not everything. So for me, you know, and again, back to this particular deal, Hopkins, look, again, Hopkins for me is the top dynasty asset, period. Superflex, non-superflex, whatever. He's the number one overall dynasty asset, in my opinion. You know, I'm not as big on DJ Moore, but he still is a mid-first value-wise,
well,
right?
This is superflex, so it's probably a little more towards the end.
Okay, so a little bit more towards the end, but Josh Rosen is going to be a high first, yes, in my opinion. Well, he's my number one quarterback.
No, okay, but I want to get this out there. I stick with early or late because high to me, high and low always confuse me because high
okay,
could mean
that's fair.
High in number or high in
yep.
order.
I agree. Let's move on the Trade Addicts podcast to early and late.
Done.
Because that's a very good. I think that's a very good point and a very confusing – it can be a very confusing thing when you're talking about high and low. So I agree there. So I think Rosen – yes, it is decided. I think Rosen is an early first. Mm-hmm. I think Moore is a mid to late first. You know, and then you have McKinnon that I think is a mid first. Mm-hmm. plus another 19 first and a 21st on top of that. So, I mean, I don't believe – so here's the thing. I love Nuke. He's, again, and I've said this – I just said this. He's my number one overall player. I don't think any player out there is worth five first-round picks.
Yeah, you're creating a team off of selling Nuke.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even if you don't hit on half, you're probably going to hit on two or three of five, yeah, maybe.
Hopefully.
So, right, hopefully. So, I mean, I as much as I love Hopkins, and again, I think this is team-specific. If you're a competitor in this league, if you're going to compete for the playoffs and for a championship, I think DeAndre Hopkins is the play. If you're not, or if you're borderline, then I think you have to take the picks.
Yeah.
And that side, the Rosen, Moore, McKinnon, and the two firsts.
Yeah, so we had a lot of good trades today where it was pretty much we liked both sides. And it was, again, Twitter trades are really in a vacuum unless someone gets a nice thread of like five tweets showing his team, the other guy's team, the state of their team against the other teams. I mean, so clearly we can't have all the information because I don't want all of that information.
Yeah.
These were a lot of very good trades. So good job, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. No, these were several good ones here. So we appreciate the interaction on Twitter, and we appreciate you guys sending in your deals. We love talking about them, and hopefully we don't upset anybody too bad with our takes on these trades.
I don't care
but
if you're upset or not, just keep listening.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Please. We appreciate the interaction and the listening, and we appreciate you.
Yeah. And always be willing to at us with trade questions or trade polls. I know, man, I get off of Twitter for an hour and a half and my Dynasty Outhouse mentions are at 99 plus. Because not only do I get a ton of polls thrown at me, but everyone's reaction to that poll. But
sure.
I love this stuff, so don't ever hesitate to DM me if you want to, because I will do my best to get back to you, because I don't like my day job, so I'll sit there and talk fantasy with you instead. I will always – it is never a bother, I should say, to talk trades, to talk fantasy, to talk about anything. You want to let me know how your day's going. You're having trouble with your wife at home? Hey, I've had trouble with my wife at home. We could talk about it.
We probably shouldn't talk about it.
Well, we're not going to talk about it over here. And I think my wife might still be awake, so I'm not really going to talk about it here. But yeah, no, always, you know, at Dynasty Outhouse, at Trade Addicts Pod. I'm probably more talkative than Brian is, but you should follow Brian anyway. At Brian Har FF. But yeah, no, keep throwing them at us. And probably in about a month or so, we seem to be doing this about once a month. We ask all you guys for your trades for us to talk about, because we can't always talk about our trades. You know, it's got to be about you people at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, and same here. I mean, I think you're right. You're probably a little bit more active on Twitter than I am. I am active, but I mean, it's hard to keep up, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, anytime you guys have questions about anything fantasy football related, please feel free to reach out and you know, at me, I'll retweet stuff. I'll chat with you back and forth. This stuff's awesome. We have a really great time doing this. Mm-hmm. We hope it comes through in the podcast. I think it probably does. When we listen back, a lot of times we laugh again. Yeah. So we appreciate you guys, and we appreciate you listening. And if we can help, please reach out, and we'll do our best to help. Can't guarantee that our advice will be positive advice for you or win you championships, but we will do our best, and we'll have a good time in the process.
We'll take all of the credit if it works and none of the blame if it doesn't.
Absolutely.
All right. Moving on. All right, that's, yeah, I guess we could just sort of be done now.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod and follow our hosts at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Har FF. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review. Have a nice day, and we will see you next time on the Trade Addicts Podcast.